And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Is the WWE preparing for an attitude adjustment? It's Balor versus Brock with Braun left out in the cold at the Royal Rumble, but the real Rumble is taking place on paper as the future of the Revival, Mike and Maria, and Dolph Ziggler all seem to be up in the air, or at least that's what the rumor mill would have you believe. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event coming at you on TSN Radio. Jason Agnew here with you once again, and this week on the show, we'll be prepping for the Royal Rumble. But the real rumbles that everyone seems to care about are the contract controversies. We'll get right into it tonight with Dave Meltzer, who will jump into the first hour of tonight's show, and then follow that up with an all-aftermath triple threat of Nug Nargang and Jimmy Corderas. And finally, Dan the Mouth of Ransky will pop by to do another six-pack challenge as we look ahead to next week's Royal Rumble. Plus, turnbuckle trivia and your feedback. We're set for a very intense 2 hours of wrestling radio. So with so much to do, we're going to take a quick break and then be back to run down the rumor mill and make some contract corrections. You're listening to Sunday night's main event, and you're doing it on TSN Radio.
Hello, boys and girls. This is the man who put the entertainment back in sports entertainment, RJ City. Friday, January 25th, I'm going to be at Comedy Bar at 11 p.m., which is really late, and I'm going to be playing Rumble Strikes, which is a comedy show, but it's just like a wrestling show, so don't worry. We figured out the winner beforehand, and it's highly dangerous, and we have no medical coverage, so quite frankly, I think improv performers should unionize. Somebody call Jesse Ventura.
It's all happening on Friday night, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar. Tickets are only $15, and you can get them at sundaynightsmainevent.com.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, I'm glad we called this segment the Wrestling Roundup as opposed to Wrestling News, because a lot of it today is trying to sort through the rumors that have come up. I mean, it's only been a couple weeks since the AEW press conference, but the organization continues to have a butterfly effect on the WWE in regards to release requests. Now, this all began on Tuesday when a rumor surfaced that the Revival asked for their release, and the source of that rumor was Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful, who then clarified that what he specifically heard was that Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder attempted to quit on the spot at Monday's Raw. Now, Dash Wilder also changed his Twitter name back to his actual name, Daniel Wheeler, for what it's worth. So, the Revival, though, were in action at this weekend's WWE house shows facing Gable and Rude, of which the reviews of the matches have been very, very good. But that did prompt Scott Dawson to respond to a tweet from Sasha Banks praising the match, saying, quote, "Don't matter where we go, we're stealing the show. Hashtag FTR." Sasha then replied with a GIF that said, "Take me with you." Along with that, there was another rumor that popped up about Mike and Maria Kanellis having requested their release as well. And Mike started to sell new t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees under his name of Mike Bennett, as opposed to Mike Kanellis. However, a couple days after those rumors surfaced, Maria then posted the following on her Instagram. Quote, "I was not going to address this, but I'm getting phone calls and emails about it. I did not ask for my release. Speculation and rumors are running rampant. Someone is playing with all the wrestling news sites. It's a game. I've been in professional wrestling for 15 years, and what I do in front of the camera will only be a small part of the full story." You can read her whole statement on her Instagram page. But we are not done there, because Nick Nemeth also started selling new t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Nemeth, of course, the real name of Dolph Ziggler, who, according to PW Insider, has also had conflicting rumors about Dolph's contract, with one of them being that it ends at the end of January, which would enable him to leave if he wants to. Now, we're going to try to shake down all of the details and remove the fact from the fiction with Dave Meltzer in about 20 minutes time here on the show. He's going to be in our first hour of the broadcast. Now let's move along to actual contract signings this week, as it was announced on Tuesday that Lucha Libre star Rush has signed an exclusive contract with Ring of Honor. The promotion put out a video with Rush announcing the news, with Rush saying he's returning to Ring of Honor to stay and that there he'll be the biggest star in the company and it's his new home. Now, Rush is still going to be wrestling for CMLL in Mexico, as the company has a working agreement with them and with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Before signing with Ring of Honor, Rush had been becoming a regular with MLW in the U.S., and he was supposed to face L.A. Park in the main event of MLW's tapings at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York on April 4th. But MLW announced that Rush has now been pulled from the show due to the insistence of a third-party promoter. Speaking of some other MLW talent, Shane Strickland announced on his Twitter that he is a free agent. Meltzer had reported that the WWE was interested in Strickland last August, but Strickland's status was complicated by him being under contract with Lucha Underground, where he played the character of Killshot. So according to Strickland, he's free of that contract now. Speaking of Lucha Underground, Eva Lise is saying she is, quote, being legally held hostage, end quote, by Lucha Underground. She's saying they convinced her to do season 4 of the show under the promise that she would be released after the season concluded, but are still refusing to let her go. Naturally, with the current environment of all wrestling companies clamoring to sign talent, now is the perfect time for her to get out of that contract and make some money going to the highest bidder. From controversial contracts, let's get into an injury update next, as it hasn't been a good week for knees. Matt Sydal is set to undergo surgery Thursday to repair torn cartilage in his knee. Dakota Kai has officially confirmed that she suffered a torn ACL at an NXT house show last month. She had surgery this past week. Akam from Authors of Pain is out with a leg injury. More details have yet to be released, but he looks to be out for a couple of months, which I'm sure means Drake Maverick will have a very full bladder upon his return. ROH announced that Chris Sabin and Flip Gorton will be undergoing MRIs this week to confirm the extent of their injuries. It looks like Sabin suffered a torn ACL in his right knee during last Saturday's television tapings, and Gorton is believed to be out of action for a minimum of 4 weeks due to a possible MCL sprain in his right knee. Okay, now on to some WWE updates. Sasha Banks and Finn Balor have been removed from WWE.com's list of advertised entrants for their respective Royal Rumbles. They were announced for the Rumble before they were thrown into the matches, so that's why they have been removed. Starting at noon Eastern time tomorrow, that is Monday, WWE will be revealing a new entrant for the Women's Royal Rumble every 30 minutes via Twitter. And they did not reveal how many entrants are going to be announced. But hopefully they don't ruin all of these surprises. Jerry Lawler appeared on Raw Monday night, and although his pop may have been cheap since they were in Memphis, apparently his new contract wasn't. Yeah, his contract comes up every year on January the 10th, and he texted Kevin Dunn a reminder about it on January the 8th. Lawler said he was offered a 2-year deal with a raise the very next day. Lawler also announced he's going to be doing commentary for this year's Men's Royal Rumble match with Michael Cole and JBL. That's not something to look forward to, but I guess at least it's better than the Women's Royal Rumble, because we don't need to hear about the puppies. Humberto Carrillo is again listed for the Worlds Collide tournament that's taking place at Royal Rumble Access. Carrillo is listed as representing 205 Live, and he made his debut on the show this past week. Ronda Rousey was announced as voicing the role of Sonya Blade in the Mortal Kombat 11 video game. Big Show will be appearing in Season 2 of Happy, a sci-fi series. Show appeared in 4 episodes, and the show debuts on March 27th. DDP has a new self-help book called Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. Nikki Cross and Killian Dane are the latest WWE couple to get married. Apparently, they've been together since 2008. Andrade Cien Almas is no longer Andrade Cien Almas. He's just Andrade. The change was made on SmackDown this past week. Hulk Hogan did an interview with People Magazine where he said he was too old to be wrestling again. We'll file that into things the rest of us knew a decade ago, if not longer. For any New Japan fans that wanted to make their way to Nashville on February 2nd, well, the tickets sold out instantly. A couple more were thrown up on sale. There might be a few stragglers left, but generally a hot ticket in Nashville for New Japan. It was announced that MLW is going to have another Fusion Live special on beIN Sports at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, February the 2nd as well. That's right up against that New Japan show. The special is taking place at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and is part of MLW Super Fight, with MLW also holding tapings that night in addition to the live show. And finally, one MMA note here. The UFC introduced new title belts last night. And they're ugly. In a press conference, Dana White stated, "This Saturday begins a new era for UFC, and it's the perfect time to unveil our new UFC Legacy Championship belt. The belt honors UFC's past while recognizing the amazing accomplishments of our current champions." Now, the UFC noted the Legacy belt is worth three times more than its predecessor, which has been used since 2001. If they could only make them look good. Okay, that wraps up the news this week. Pretty hefty there. Meltzer's coming up in the first hour tonight, and I want to talk about a tweet that I sent out coming up next here and what happened, and let's talk about these Attitude Era style segments. But before we do that, I wanted to let you all know, of course, Friday night is Rumble Strikes. For those of you in the Greater Toronto Area, come on out Friday night, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar, and we're going to be doing the Royal Rumble meets Whose Line Is It Anyway meets Fear Factor. Eight comedians are going to be vying for the number one contender ship for our Wrestle Strikes shows. It is going to be a fun time. These shows are absolutely awesome. And playing this one, RJ City, David Arquette's tag team partner, is going to be playing this show. He's back on the stage. Andrew Fung from Kim's Convenience. This guy is, you see his face on Netflix. Well, you can see his face live. Tickets are only $15. They're available right now at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. The link is there. And please come on out and join me. Honestly, it's 11 p.m., so if you're a little bit out of town, you got time to have dinner, get there after work. It is fun. We run the show for about 90 minutes, then we go to the bar and we drink our faces off after the show. It's a super fun time. I hope to see a whole bunch of you down there Friday night, January 25th, 11 p.m., Comedy Bar, Rumble Strikes. It's going to be fun. Coming up next, yeah, we'll talk about this Attitude Era stuff that's happening and how I got picked apart on Twitter and called a very not-so-PG term this week, which I'll say on the radio next. It's In Context, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Shiny, happy people holding hands. Shiny, happy people holding hands.
This is Scott Goldman, the former Two Strikes Wrestling Champion. I lost my title at Summer Strikes, and then I go away for months and I have to come back and prove myself in the number one contender match at Rumble Strikes? Well, guess what? Next Friday, January 25th, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar, I walk in and I repeat as Rumble Strikes champion, and then I'm gonna go on to Strikes-a-Mania and get that big shiny belt. I don't care who's in my way. This is a new Scott Goldman. Sweetness is dead.
Excuse me, Miss Bliss, I just want to let you know I... Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh.
What are you doing in here? What, did you even knock?
I knocked, I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything, I...
Come on, Jimmy, come closer. Don't be shy.
Yo, look, we can't do this. I can't do this. This right here, need to stop. Really? That's what you're doing?
This isn't about you. This is about your wife. So when she gets a look at all these photos of you in my hotel room, they will destroy her entire life.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. What you heard right there, a little clip from Alexa Bliss on Monday night in her dressing room when she did that supposed topless scene. Following that, the hotel room, Jimmy Uso, Mandy Rose, blah, 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 blah. So I happened to be watching SmackDown live this week, which I don't normally do. And once I saw the hotel room segment, I decided to send out a tweet. And maybe this was a mistake, but actually it kind of opened up my eyes to a little bit of what WWE is trying to do here, and more so the perception of the audience that is out there watching WWE. So let me just throw you back to what happened here if you don't happen to be following the Sunday Night's Main Event Twitter all that closely. You should, by the way, at SNME Radio. So here we go. First, we get Alexa Bliss topless, and now we get Naomi and Mandy fighting in a hotel room. Why are we going backwards? Hashtag Women's Revolution, SD Live, hashtag Raw, etc. So that went out, and I got a couple replies. But the main reply that I want to focus on is Dave Meltzer. Yes, my guest in the next segment, we will talk about this. Dave replied, need to get audience up. So first things first, I complimented Dave on his use of the word up in regards to this particular tweet. And then I started getting feedback from a whole bunch of different people that saw Dave's reply to my original tweet. And I just wanted to give you a little sample of some of the tweets that I got here in regards to that back and forth. First of all, at Pro Wrestling WW wrote, those segments draw. Therefore, they are not going backwards. Okay. At Anthony Span 11 said, because going forward didn't work, duh. I didn't misread that. That is what was tweeted. From Chris P. Lettuce, the evil vegan, so he calls himself. Yeah, the social climate sucks now. It's full of stupid a-holes that complain about everything. Do you cry sexism if a girl is topless in a movie or TV show? Cool. At Paulson Phillip says, people like to F, but he used the word, deal with it. And finally, just to round this on out here, my personal favorite, someone named Chris Lonus, at Extreme Effect, and oh, the extreme is spelt with an X because that's how you'd spell it in the 90s. 2019 is at record lows. Your complaint is retarded. I read that verbatim from his tweet. Now, to me, if you use that word, you nullify any argument that you're putting forward because it's not an intelligent response in 2019. Now, I always had the thought that people that listen to this radio show and others like The Observer or Figure Four, Pro Wrestling Torch, etc., had a different mentality than the common fan. The WWE universe, the mark, shall we say? But maybe after seeing this, maybe I'm wrong. So let me clarify what I said when I referred to going backwards. First of all, I don't think the Sables, Sunnies, Tories, and any other blonde that was on WWE TV in the 90s drew money. You know who did? Stone Cold, The Rock, Mick Foley, DX, etc. The raunchy segments filled out the TV show, but it's not what the majority of people tuned in for. And right now, there is not one person on this card that is as over as any of those performers that I just mentioned. And believe me, that includes Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. Because as these shows draw about 3 million viewers that we're seeing now, the shows back then in the 90s were drawing nearly three times the ratings. And WCW was still in existence as well. So there were actually 500%. More people watching wrestling at that time on a weekly basis. So no one is as over as any of those performers that I just mentioned. Now, let me also clarify here. I have no problem with being raunchy if it's done in a way where the storylines are actually good and make sense. You see, those two things do not have to be diametrically opposed to one another. So let's take a look at the two angles that we saw this week. Angle one on Raw. Production assistant knocks a few times and then walks in on Alexa, who is standing there right beside the door, frozen with her top half off. My problem? Why didn't she respond to the knocks if she was standing right beside the door? My solution, It's as easy as putting a couple earbuds in her ears. She couldn't hear the knock because she was listening to her iPod. Segment all of a sudden makes complete sense. Number two, moving over to SmackDown. Mandy invites Jimmy over to her hotel. Ooh. Well, first of all, the skit involving the package given to Jimmy Uso, why would his brother read a private note from his wife? You don't know what's going to be in the package. It could have been something very private. Could have been a sex toy. Could have been, I don't know. But why would you want your brother seeing that potentially sensitive content? And why would you want your own brother reading a note your wife wrote to you? And let's take it from the brother's perspective. If you're Jey Uso, why are you so excited your brother is going to go have anniversary sex with his wife? Secondly, once Jimmy gets into the hotel room, there's a cameraman there shooting this. It's not showcased as a GTV angle, to throw something back to the Attitude Era here. It's not showcased like that. It's not a security camera. There was even more care given to the Aiden English angle with Lana a few months back when he had his laptop set up to practice his singing, and it happened to catch Lana coming in the door, and that's how the chat was filmed. That made sense. You didn't hear me criticize that, did you? No. Because it made sense while watching. Just please don't insult my intelligence. You see, in this case, there's the cameraman in the hotel, and all of a sudden, there's a paparazzi photographer that jumps out and takes pictures. Why do we need that if the cameraman's already there? This made no sense at all. But the fix is not difficult. Jimmy goes to the hotel. We see him enter. He puts a do not disturb sign on the door. We don't know what's happening, as the cameraman is not allowed in the room. Because, you know, hey, sometimes less is more. The next week on SmackDown, Mandy threatens that she's going to show the world a scandalous video that she shot that night in her hotel room with Jimmy Uso. Calls out Naomi to the ring. This could main event SmackDown for that matter. You could build the whole show around this. Jimmy runs into the ring trying to stop this from happening. But Mandy shows the video. And let me tell you something. There are clearly things going on in this video that a married man should not be doing. You can get very, very Attitude Era raunchy with this video and show as much Mandy skin as old man Vince wants to show. Anyhow, Mandy shows the video. And instead of being angry, Jimmy and Naomi start to laugh. Of which Mandy is baffled by and starts to get pissed. Until it's revealed that she's been the victim of twin magic. Because it was Jey Uso that went to the hotel room. And yeah, they did all those things. So Jey struts out onto the ramp with one of Mandy's thongs he took as a souvenir. Mandy, being the heel, looks like an idiot. The baby faces look great because they outsmarted the heel. And in a purely Attitude Era sexist mindset, Jey looks like a champ because he hooked up with Mandy Rose. Is it so difficult? Is it? All I'm saying is that you can be raunchy. You can be lewd. You can use sex to sell a product. But just be smart about it. Don't insult my intelligence as a wrestling fan. If you wish to tell me that I should not be offended because I can see these things on another television program, then I want this show to make as much sense as it does watching an actual scripted television show. That's all. We're going to take a break. Come back, chat with Dave Meltzer about this exact topic, actually, because Dave is the one that kind of replied and made this tweet go a little crazy for me. And we'll also try to get to the bottom of some of these contract controversies as well. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Woo, gotta cool down on TSN Radio. I'm your biggest fan.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's Main Event.
Well, you're hearing the stinger a lot earlier than normal, but half an hour earlier than normal this week because we got to get into all of these contract controversies and let's figure out what's rumor and what's not. Welcoming on the line right now, Dave Meltzer. Dave, a busy week on paper, I think, for us, right?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be like that for most of the year. I mean, there's certain dynamics of the business that have changed, so that's kind of where we're at.
And it's almost like it's refreshing as well, looking at this talent who now seems to have another place to go, because truly, it hasn't been since WCW was an option where we've seen so much talk about contracts and where people are going.
Yeah, I mean, TNA for a period.
A brief period. Yeah, like the Angle-Christian era.
Yeah, there was some Booker T and all that, but it was never like this, I don't think, ever. Because I think that nobody really had the confidence in TNA, but it's just like right now, it's just changed the whole dynamic of the business. A lot of the talent's really happy. They're in a good place. And also the other thing is, and this didn't really happen with TNA, is that the inevitability is that the pay for wrestlers is as long as this keeps going on, is going to increase to where, you know, it's finally going to be where they're paid, I'm not going to say similar to baseball players, but baseball, like in the 70s, the pay just increased, you know, exponentially. And in all sports it did. And wrestling, it has increased, but not at the level of everyone else. So now it's going to have a pretty big increase for a number of reasons. And one is that WWE can afford to pay everyone double, and they wouldn't even bat an eye. And also there's competition. And it's not all about pay. Pay's a lot of it, but a lot of it's also about just wanting to be, you know, you've got a whole lot of people in this business who want to be the best they can be. And I think a lot of them have realized that just based on the numbers game, that in WWE, you're just not going to get that opportunity, and maybe you can get that opportunity somewhere else for a variety of reasons. And so it's not like the fear that is drummed into people about leaving WWE. I think that Cody's success and now AEW has kind of made it where, like, you know, it's really not going to be the end of my life if somehow I leave. Where before it's like, oh, if I leave, and you've seen guys, mm-hmm. you know, like Big Cass, I'm just going to throw out a name. He left, and we've never heard from him since. You know, but I think a lot of guys are looking at it and go, like, you know, I can make this work if I don't have to be in WWE or just get out of this business.
And I think also a byproduct of this is the fact that WWE, with, you know, AEW popping up, there's going to be a certain amount of quality control and pressure, once again, for them to put on a better product.
Absolutely.
Which we have not seen them have that since WCW.
Not really. And they're going to have that pressure, and I think they're already doing that now. I think that, look, just this week's TV, the lineups are way more loaded that are advertised in ahead of time than they've been in weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, we got, feuds. I mean, they've had to. Look, Rey Mysterio and Andrade, 2 out of 3 falls. We wouldn't get a match like that a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, that's just and Andrade couldn't even get off the bench a couple of weeks ago, and now he's getting a push because everyone knows he's a valuable commodity. But WWE just, you know, weren't going to do anything with him. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you know, when his contract's up, he's got an option, you know, and a good one. We need to keep him happy.
All right. Well, let's talk about what everyone's been talking about all week long, and that is all of these rumors that are flying around, and try to get to the bottom of some of them that we can. In particular, the first one that popped up was The Revival. Now, sources have stated The Revival tried to outright quit on Monday after their match. What is the story with The Revival?
They asked for their release after their match. They actually wanted to ask for their release. I think that they actually made noise of it a couple of weeks ago, but they didn't do it. But, after the match, they asked for their release, and right now everything is up in the air. They have not been released. They worked, you know, the last two nights at the house shows, and they're trying to get a release, which is an interesting thing because it's kind of known that they're trying to get a release. Their contract doesn't expire till April of 2020. So that's, you know, a lot of people have gone like, you know, why wouldn't you let it expire? And I guess April 2020 was pretty daunting, maybe. But at the same time, is WWE going to let them out for all the reasons that are obvious? And it's like, I don't think so, because what if they give them a release? We know where they're going, we know who they're feuding with, and they're going to get over. So it's kind of a weird dynamic there.
And we've seen as recently as Neville that WWE is willing to hold people hostage, and they have the money to just have people sit on the sidelines as opposed to releasing.
Yep, yep, that's right. The other thing, too, is that if you sit out, they can extend your contract, you know, based on
right.
the time that you...
Rey Mysterio...
They can freeze your contract. You know, even if you're... Yeah, if you're, Rey Mysterio was with over injuries, Daniel Bryan was over injuries, mm-hmm. but if you sit out, that you can, they can do that as well.
Right. Now...
So it doesn't do you any good to sit out.
Revival wearing hashtag FTR on their tights on Monday, they have trademarked Forever the Revival. Does that mean they can... If, let's say, if they get their release or it's 2020, they can then walk into AEW, ROH, etc., using Forever the Revival as their name?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Smart move on their part.
Yeah, yeah, it really was.
Okay, so the second note that came out was Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis. So the rumor came out that they had asked for their release. Now, Maria went on Instagram a couple days after this came out and outright denied it. But there's been some that have said she shouldn't have really denied it. What's the truth to this story that we know of?
They asked for their release, and it was several weeks ago. They were turned down, and yeah, that's that.
Hmm. Interesting with these two, because we really haven't seen them. I mean, Maria is a talented person, and we saw that in Impact.
Yeah, she was really good in Impact. Really good. And Mike, at times... You know, Mike and Impact, I remember they did with the Chelsea Green wedding thing. He was tremendous in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he can definitely, and he was good in Impact, too. I mean, in WWE, they just, the dynamic was all wrong. You know, the whole dynamic was that he was, what, a greeting cards salesman, and they made him a wrestler. It's like, once you do that, you're kind of at death's door anyway. So it was a bad fit, and then he never went anywhere. And I don't know. She got pregnant. They took him off TV. They lost all their momentum. So it's what, you know, I don't blame anyone for anything. It just happened. And, you know, when you're cast at a certain level in WWE, it's hard to break free. So, you know, I could see why you would want to get out, you know, but I don't know if it's anyone. I'm not blaming WWE or anything. It's just how you got a numbers game there. You know, you got all those people and you can't push everyone. And some people that are there could get pushed somewhere else, and maybe that's what they want. It's like sometimes it's easy to blame WWE, and it's not really blaming WWE, but still, being WWE is not the be-all and end-all. There's other ways to make this your career work.
What is the situation with Dolph Ziggler? Rumored that his contract is coming due soon. Do we know how long he signed?
I don't know what the situation is with Dolph Ziggler. I'm going to try to find out this week. I saw the report... that you know that they asked him to go off the road and become a producer. I could see it. They don't, you know, aside, they pushed him with Drew McIntyre, but the whole thing was just to get Drew McIntyre over. And then when they broke them up, there was really nothing they were going to do with Ziggler. Ziggler's a talented guy, so
WWE is looking at pulling him out of the ring, like on a permanent basis.
Yeah, make him an agent, which just because they don't have he's been around forever.
Yeah,
and that you know, there's really not anything that they could do with him. It's not like if they pull him out of the ring and make him an agent 6 months from now, they can go, there's a spot, and go, hey, you know what, we can bring him back, he's still with the company. It's not like it's the end, but they probably just have no idea of anything or no compunction, you know, whatever it is. Vince has never been that high on him. I mean, even when he was pushed, Vince was always leery of him for whatever reason. There were times when he was super over, if they beat him down so much to where he really wasn't anymore. Yeah, it's an idea, and we'll see what happens.
Now, it's not someone that has been rumored to ask for their release, but rather a contract that I do believe is coming due, and I'm wondering on its status, and that is AJ Styles.
Yeah, I think it's due in a couple of months.
Well, that is incredible for AJ Styles.
Oh, incredible timing, right? I mean, I've heard no rumors whatsoever of him leaving. I don't expect him to leave. He's really well paid. He's in a great spot. But
if he's really well paid now, just imagine the Brinks truck pulling up for AJ.
If he plays his cards right. Well, here's the other thing, too. He's 41 years old. you know, his body's going to be beat up. He's worked a really hard style for you know, 20 years. The thing with him is that with him is it's not so much the money. He's going to make money, but it's the schedule. And I think he's going to, because you look at like Daniel Bryan's schedule and Rey Mysterio's schedule and Randy Orton's schedule, and he's working a lot more dates than they are. And he's not as old as Rey, but he's older than the other two. And he's got a family like everyone, like they all
do. Four kids, I think, right? A fairly young family at that
style. Yeah. I don't know how many kids he's got. Yeah, I think three or four.
He's got to count the tattoos.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have to look on Tuesday. But so I think that for him, the interesting thing would be the schedule. And obviously, by those precedents that we've seen with Randy Orton and the others, that they will give it to him. Like when Daniel Bryan asked for the schedule, or he was very willing to leave. I knew they would give it to him, and they did. So he's going to get. If he pushes for the schedule, he will get it, and he should. You know, it's like one of the things with the house shows and everything like that. I mean, it's tough because you look at the top guys, all the top guys on SmackDown. You know, the families want the less than full time schedule, and it's kind of tough when you're doing house shows. And then it's like if none of the top guys want to work full schedules. It's a weird dynamic. Then do you push other guys? You know, what do? You have programs like Rey Mysterio and Andrade, but you can't really do them on the house shows because Rey's not going to work that many dates. So it's,
wouldn't it make sense to do
the company, but you know, it makes it better for the talent.
Wouldn't it make sense to do an on and off, like almost like shifting? It's like, okay, Ray's here for this 3 month span. He does a program, and then Orton's back on for a 3 month span, and they go on and off the road like that. Then it allows for the bodies of the older guys to heal more.
Yeah, you could do it that way, or you could just like, you know, what they do is like they'll look at the weekend. If it's a weekend of like the Madison Square Garden, Boston, or whatever, something like that, then everybody works
right.
It. And then if it's a weekend of Sioux Falls, it's like nobody works type of thing. Or right now, Daniel Bryan's working a lot of it because he's got the belt.
Mm-hmm.
But but as a general rule, you know, that's kind of how they've been like scheduling it.
Okay, we're going to hop back into the WWE product in a sec, but I wanted to ask you about one contract outside of WWE, and that is Ivelisse. She's complained that she's being held hostage contractually by Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, really no plans to proceed further with this product from what I've heard. What's the story with Ivelisse just being locked in?
They all are. She wants out, and I guess they haven't given her a release, and she's unhappy about it, and she just got frustrated and went public with it. I mean, there were a lot of when Lucha Underground signed everyone for 7 years or seven seasons, actually,
right.
Technically, none of the people there or very few of them had any real name, you know, so it was kind of like, hey, I'm getting a contract. I'm finally going to make it in wrestling. I'm going to get on national TV. They were really hoping this would be a big thing. And you know, it could have been. It wasn't. But, it did, you know, I mean, Pentagon and Phoenix made names off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the other guys made lesser names, but for her, you know, she wanted out. I mean, I'm sure that she looks and goes like, there's other places I can go, and I'm not allowed to go. So, that's the situation with her.
One of those other places, of course, AEW popping up with any contract talk. AEW and Turner Broadcasting. These little bits and pieces of rumors that have come out, is there truth to this? Any progression with a broadcast deal?
I think they're pretty close,
mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of different places. And that's an obvious one. I don't know that, you know, that's the one, but they're talking to viable stations. As far as like how close we are, I think we're pretty close. I'm pretty sure, you know, no one's told me this directly, but the tea leaves tell me that they would like to close the deal by May and make the announcement in May.
Of course,
on the Vegas show,
yeah.
If the deal is done. And I think they're, again, you know, they're. It's just a question of choice, and it's a choice of exposure versus money,
right?
Or maybe you get exposure and money, but you know, those are the things that you're balancing out.
Okay, let's flip back into WWE here with this tweet that I've already talked about on the show, but I tweeted out this week, first we get Alexa Bliss topless, then we get Naomi and Mandy fighting in a hotel room. Why are we going backwards? You replied to me on Twitter saying, need to get the audience up. And after I complimented you on your fine use of the word up in that particular scenario, yeah. Let's talk about the direction of WWE programming and where they're headed. I mean, the belief here is that doing segments of this style is supposed to draw the audience back, and is it a cheap way to get ratings up? Like, do you believe this is going to work?
I mean, it's what they know, you know what I mean? So they're going to go back to what they know. Will it work now? I think it will to a degree. Does it demean the women? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a step backwards. You know, you can only say, you know, we're going to be like Ronda Rousey and Serena Williams, and then, well, did UFC and tennis do this? And it's like, they didn't. You know, and they've done such a really good job with the women in the last couple of years, changed the whole perception. You know, they can main event now. Mm-hmm. And no one even, I think the thing is now, what's so impressive is, they can main event and at a house show, and it's not even a story. It's just, yeah, they, you know, Asuka and Charlotte and Becky Lynch have main evented, you know, many, many house shows in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I think it's, I consider it kind of, when I watch it, it's kind of like, God, it's like it feels worse than it did when they did it before, because now it's like they've created like a respect for the performers, and now not, I don't know. I feel it's going backwards, and, it's obviously an attempt for rings. The thing is, it's not so much Monday, but we both know that the SmackDown show's got to pick up some momentum.
Right.
You know, they've got till October, and they've got to build up that audience. Because when they go to Fox, 2 million viewers is going to be a flop if you're on a Friday night in prime time. I'm sure they'll beat that number by a little bit just because they're on a better outlet. But, you know, their numbers are way down from when they signed the contract. And you're on primetime wrestling, you're on network television, I should say. Mm-hmm. And the stakes are high on network television. It's not like cable where WWE is always going to be one of the higher rated things just because it's high profile and people are creatures of habit and everything. Even with the declines, Raw's, you know, one of the highest rated shows, on Monday nights. SmackDown is on Tuesday. On the network, you know, you're competing with NBC, ABC, CBS. It's a completely different ballgame, and you've got to get the widest audience possible. And their history of when they drew the biggest ratings is like that, but it's also a long, long time ago. And also you're going with, what about the sponsors? I mean, the sponsors really aren't going to care until somebody tells them. And then if they're, you know, they went through that issue too with the sponsors years ago, and they had to tone down. So you've got all these different dynamics working. But
sponsor money, Dave, so see, the curiosity that I have here, it was always said sponsor, sponsor, sponsors, when they dialed back and went to the PG mentality, when they went back to that.
And it's not just sponsors, but they promised like Mattel and people like that.
Yes. So with that, because that's where a lot of their money was coming from. But now with these broadcast deals, I would guess due to the money there, the priority is to please the broadcaster any which way, even though you might sacrifice some sponsors.
Right. But, you know, broadcasters, do they want that on the wrestling show? And I don't know that's going to depend on Fox. And I mean, USA is going to take it either way. But I think that's going to be like Fox, you know, Fox wants their sports guys to promote it. They want to promote it as sport. I mean, their mentality is this is Friday night, live sport. Thursday night's going to be NFL. Saturday night's going to be college football in the fall. And they're going to be, you know, they're going to be right in between those two nights. And they want a sports-like presentation.
Wow.
And I don't know that this fits at all. And I don't want to say it will embarrass the network because that's too strong. But, you know, I mean, again, there comes a point of what do we want? You know, and again, and I don't know the answer. I don't know what Fox is going to want out of the thing, but I could certainly see if I'm there. I mean, I guess because of the way the portrayal of women, I think that's that could be a negative, especially now.
I feel like, and I touched on this earlier in the show, and I know you didn't hear it, but a lot of people came back at me with tweets after we went back and forth saying, it's not going backwards. People like sex, blah, 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 blah. You can see this on any other television show. My thought process is, though, the quality control and the way that these things are written is not at the level of those other shows that justifies the nudity.
Not even close.
Right?
No.
And that's really my problem.
The thing is, for Fox, again, it's being presented as not as entertainment but as sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big distinction.
Well, I'm very curious to see.
I mean, the people who I'm going to deal with, I mean, are the sports people. I already know that. We've already talked about it. The sports people are the ones who are following me. The sports people, you know, it's like, it's a sports presentation, and I don't know. You know, they may just say it's fine, or they may just go, you know what, this is kind of tacky, and we don't want it. I felt it to be, like the Alexa thing, I felt to be like totally out of place, and
yeah.
It had no storyline or anything. It was just like gratuitous, you know, desperation. The Naomi thing was a storyline to lead to a match, but I thought it was a really cheesy, bad storyline. So either way, I don't know. But I can see where from their perspective, they want to get ratings up, and I think it will help, but you know, again, you don't know because the audience is different. You know, it will. You know, time will tell if that helps.
That's what we do, Dave. We just follow along each and every week as WWE decides to make its twists and turns. And next week, we'll be chatting with you live after the Royal Rumble. But before we say goodbye, the Observer this week obviously has to be a ton of sorting through all these contract rumors.
Well, the new issues, like just all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next, you know, there'll be this. And I expect more, more things in the next couple of days because we're just, you know, everyone's very, very busy making moves. This is the next couple of months going to be a really big time for the industry. You know, this is going to be a real pivotal year for wrestling in a lot of ways. We may not look at it as a good year, but it's like 2001, really, if we look at the ramifications, was not a good year at all. It also may end up being like the best year in years.
Well, that's it. I mean, 2001 had the, you know, the combination of WCW and WWE, right? This has the ability to almost have another separation happen. So with competition coming back, this could lead to good things.
I'm optimistic about
it. Yep, me too.
Because again, for the talent, it's great for the talent. And at worst, it's going to help the salary structure of everybody.
Yep.
And so that's a good thing. And we're going to get people working really, really hard because it is going to be real competition. And we're going to get a better product because of it from all around, from everybody, from New Japan, from everyone. They're going to be working really hard because they have to work hard because it's a far more competitive market.
That it is. And look forward to covering it and chatting with you next week about the Rumble. Dave, thanks for joining me.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, find all of his fine work at WrestlingObserver.com. He, Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi, Gear Gonzalez, all the guys do a great job there following along with this industry, some fine podcasts as well. We're going to take a break, come back on the other side. Top of the hour today means the triple threat on this show at Turnbuckle Trivia and Lavransky as well, doing picks in the second hour, whole other hour of Sunday Night's Main Event as we go into Monday morning on TSN Radio. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, please surf on over to patreon.com/snmeradio. And for only $4 a month, you can get all of what we do at Sunday Night's Main Event, meaning the weekly show, the uncut, unedited interviews, and bonus podcast content. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.